Amen. Somehow this morning we've misplaced the clicker, so this might actually be a very good thing. Claudia is going to go through the slides, but if they get messed up, it's not Claudia's fault. I just want to let her off the hook right off the bat. But as we begin today, when you think of, as we're doing this emphasis on missions this week and the next couple weeks, what is it that comes to mind? What's the picture that comes to your mind when you think about missions? My suspicions are that all of us have certain things that flow through our mind and our thinking when the subject of missions comes up. And some of them are perhaps profound things. Some of them are perhaps challenging things that get in the way of what missions is all about. Now, let me just think of a few things that maybe you might be able to identify with. Some of you, perhaps, when you think of missions, immediately think of a picture. For example, keep going. This picture here is a picture of, in the far left-hand corner is Michael Turre that Julie mentioned. And Julie is right below him. And there, that was our group that went to Sierra Leone on a missions trip. And there were a few of us that made that trip together. It may be that when you think about missions, you think about a picture. A picture of Michael or a picture of Matt Pascal or some other missionary comes to your mind, because whenever you hear about missions, you think about missionaries and their picture comes up. That's fair. Or maybe when you think about missions, what you think about is a map or maybe a globe. You think about distant places that are not very familiar to you, and you think, well, somebody's over there doing something in that part of the world. Maybe that goes through your mind. I'm afraid that some of you, when you hear the word missions, think, boredom alert, we're going to be talking about missions now, and I have to be sitting on my hands. And that may be true for some of you. I mean, if you have sat through some missionary presentations where they go on and on with their slides and pictures and descriptions about people you don't know and places you're not familiar with, you may find yourself thinking, if that's what missions is, I don't really care that much about it. So if you feel that way, you're not alone. But then there are some of you who I think feel one other feeling, and that is guilt. And we're going to talk about missions today and talk about the people who have been called to go serve God overseas. And you may think, did I miss something? Did God call me and I didn't go? Or maybe you felt you should go and you chose not to. I mention all of those pictures because all those pictures describe how I have felt about missions at different times. So whether they apply to you, they have applied to me. There are simply times when missions is a picture of somebody else in some other place, and it just doesn't interest me, and so I feel guilty. And when we have a missions emphasis, I think, you know I should be more interested in this, but I'm really not. Well, let me give you one other picture of missions. Maybe it's not really a picture. It's more a statement. When you think about missions, maybe what you think about is, this doesn't apply to me at all. I mean, I have never had this sense that I should go to Africa or South America or India. So missions has nothing to do with me. Well, my question to you this morning is, how do you know? How do you know whether you have been called to missions? I mean, there may be some people in our church who maybe you're high school or college age, and you're trying to figure out, what is God saying to me? Maybe you're in the middle of a career transition and you're wondering, is God telling me that I should go somewhere else and serve Him somewhere else? How do you know what God's call is when it comes to missions? Almost everyone you talk to who tells you that they are missionaries felt in some way that they were called to that. How do you know whether you're doing the wrong thing, living here instead of somewhere else? Well, that's what I want us to think about and talk about for this morning. And to have you do that, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 13. Because interestingly enough, when you hear missionaries talk about their call to missions, if you look in the pages of Scripture, you'll find that there really isn't any place more clear where missionaries were called to go do what they were supposed to do than in Acts chapter 13. And yet, as we look at this passage, and we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at it, but I think you'll see a disconnect between how people oftentimes talk about missions and what happened in this particular chapter. Let me just read these verses, and I want you to think, as we turn to this passage, think about your picture of a missionary call. When you've heard someone talk about being called to be a missionary in Africa or South America or whatever, what sorts of things happened in their lives that gave them that sense of call? Well, this is what happened with the Apostle Paul. It says, in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And Saul, in case it doesn't ring a bell, is Paul's name, his Hebrew name, his pre-conversion name. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. That was Paul's call to his first missionary journey. Now, when you think about that, how does that square with your thinking about a missions call? My assumption is that perhaps it doesn't fit exactly. Now, some of you know my interest in missions goes back to college days. When I was a freshman in college, I spent 8 months in Costa Rica. I went to a language school and met a number of missionaries. And in that whole experience, I thought, this is something perhaps God is calling me to do. And so I finished college and decided to go to seminary and went on to seminary. And it was in the process of serving a church and seminary that I felt, you know, the way that God had gifted me and enabled me to serve best was probably more as a pastor. And so I pursued that. And yet throughout my pastoral ministry, I've always been interested in missions. I always served on missions committees. I've always been part of missions projects and missions trips. But my experience of how God spoke in my life was not exactly what happened with the Apostle Paul and with Barnabas. Quite often when we think about a missions call, we think of some soft voice. Maybe while you're in the middle of your quiet time, just saying, okay, you need to go to Africa or whatever. There's some sort of internal guidance that directs you to missions. Well, if that's the case, there are an awful lot of people who've missed that voice. And the Apostle Paul would be one of them. Because notice how this call came about. It said they were in the middle of worship. They were in a service, maybe like this one. Maybe it was more interactive, but in the middle of worship, somehow the Holy Spirit convinced not just Paul and Barnabas, But the congregation, it says, verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them. So this was not a personal call in the sense that Barnabas and Paul felt this urge to go to Asia Minor. This was a very objective thing in which the Holy Spirit put on the hearts of the congregation. We don't know exactly how it was. We don't know if there was some kind of voice or just everybody said, you know, clearly Paul and Barnabas have other work ahead of them. However it went down, all we have is that it was not this kind of private, individual call. It was a very public call. And a second thing that's really important to notice is that Paul and Barnabas were not just, they didn't just visit the church that day and all of a sudden they felt called. They had been in that church for quite a little while. In fact, if you look back in chapter 11 of Acts, it says that that starting in verse 22 of chapter 11, it speaks of Barnabas and Saul and their involvement in the church. It says, news of this church in Antioch reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when they arrived, they saw evidence of the grace of God. And he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. I mention that because this was not two people who were just sitting in the congregation wondering, what does God want me to do? These were people who were actively involved in ministry. And maybe it was in the process of ministry that people said, you know, Barnabas and Paul could do so much more if we release them to go someplace else. It's on their hearts. We need to let them go. We don't know exactly what happened, but the two things that are worth noting in this call is this wasn't just some sort of private, individual sense of leading. This was a clear direction, not just to Paul and Barnabas, but to the entire church. And secondly, these were two men who were actively involved in ministry. I think there are people who think, and I know I felt this way when I was initially thinking about ministry, both pastoral ministry and missions ministry, that at some point I'm going to get involved in ministry. At some point I'm going to serve God in a significant way. You can spend your whole life thinking, at some point I'm going to do this. But each of us needs to find a place to get involved in ministry. And it's when you're serving God that you're in the best place to be directed by God. You've heard people say it's hard to steer a parked car. It's hard to direct a stagnant Christian. So if you want to be directed by God, it helps to just start where you are. Find a ministry you can be involved in. Find something you're good at. Find a need in the church and get involved in it. And perhaps God will lead you in that. Well, as you try to figure out whether you've been called to ministry, there's a question that's worth asking, and that is, if Paul and Barnabas didn't have this personal kind of individual call that we kind of stereotypically think of as a call to missions, why is it that that perspective is out there? Why is it that so many of us, when we think about being called to missions, think about this kind of inner compulsion? Well, the answer isn't really my answer. It's an answer of a book I read probably over 30 years ago by a fellow by the name of Gary Friesen. And Gary Friesen points out two things that are worth noting. The first, he says in his book, is that this perspective that to be called to ministry and called to missions in particular is this inner call is not really supported in Scripture. But it's just kind of understood in the church. So that it gets perpetuated and propagated in churches. And we talk about a missions call and maybe don't define it very well. And so people just assume that they'll have this sense of God's Spirit guiding them or this compulsion to go. But you don't find that clearly spelled out in the New Testament. I'm not saying that you might not have a sense that you should go, but I'm saying that that isn't necessarily what happened to Paul and Barnabas. They had a sense from the church that they should go. So there isn't an absolutely clear statement of how a person is called to missions. That's really the bottom line. I'm not saying that if you have felt that you shouldn't feel that way. But I am saying if you haven't felt that doesn't mean that you aren't called. Now, there's a second reason that Friesen says that people have kind of perpetuated this idea of a personal call. And this really resonates with me. And that is because I think the task of missions is oftentimes hard. I mean, to think about leaving the familiar and leaving your family, leaving what's comfortable and going off to some foreign place that isn't comfortable, you think, I need something more objective to make me want to go. And I think there's something to that. I mean, I don't want to go off and sacrifice a whole lot if I know that this isn't the right thing. So it'd be nice to have God tell me, Tori, I want you to go, and you're going to go to those huts in the middle of the hottest part of Africa that you don't even have any interest or desire to go to because this is what I want for you. I'm not sure God does that, but if God said that to me, I should obey. I think sometimes we excuse ourselves from serving God, from mission service, because we know it's hard, and unless we have some kind of compulsion, it's just not something we want to take on. So it's worth realizing that there isn't an absolutely definitive statement of how people are called to missions. The clearest one with Barnabas and Saul is not this inner urge. It was clearly the work of the church and God's Spirit on the church guiding them. But if that's the case, am I saying that there is no real call to missions? Am I saying that you shouldn't necessarily expect this inner prompting or this inner urge? Well, as you ask that question, let me ask you a question. If you were absolutely convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was calling you to go, to take his good news to some other people, would you go? I mean, if there was no question whatsoever, and you knew that he was calling you to go to South America or to go to India or to go to Europe, and you had no doubt about it, would you go? Because if not, it doesn't matter whether there's a call or not. It matters whether you're going to be obedient. And if you and I choose to be disobedient, it doesn't matter how God calls us. But the fact is, there is a call to missions. And it's a call that you've heard probably numerous times if you spend any time in the church. And it's a call that is spelled out for us in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I have it up on the screen, but I'll read it to you from the New International Version. It says, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's Christ's, our Lord's, command to his followers, to the disciples that were present with him in that occasion, but it's also a command to us. This isn't just some sort of inner urge. This is a direct word from Jesus to his disciples. So if, in fact, this is what we've been called to, let me just point out two things in this command that are really important for us. First of all, he says, go. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. We have a responsibility to make disciples, to share, and disciple making simply means telling people about Jesus and helping them grow to know him better. A disciple, you can't become a disciple unless you learn about Jesus and embrace him, and then you need to be nurtured in that faith. And each of us has that responsibility. Our church is given that responsibility. We're given that responsibility personally. So missions is not simply a task for the people that we support as missionaries. It's our task. And we work together with those that we send out to make sure that it gets done. Some people go to Europe and Africa and South America, Japan. But we're part of that process. And that's why we give money. That's why we pray. That's why we collect money for coats and have projects. Because we're all in this together. So we need to understand that the task of missions is a call that Jesus has given to all of us. There's a second really important thing in this verse that missions strategists are really big on today, and it's important for us. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. At least that's how the New International Version translates it. We saw the same word last week when we looked in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The word nations really is ethnos. It's people groups. And I think sometimes when we think about go make disciples of the nations, we think that missions means I have to go to another nation. I have to go to Sierra Leone, or I have to go to Hungary. But that's not what Jesus' calling to missions is. We need to realize that the two things this compels us to is, first of all, that we need to go. We have a responsibility to be part of missions. But secondly, we need to think in terms of a people rather than places. I think this can totally change our perspective on missions as a church. Our responsibility is to reach people and not places. That means that what matters most is to think, who are the people that need Jesus? Well, clearly, it starts with, in my life, with the people that I know best, that are around me, that I know don't know Jesus. But even statistically, Julie mentioned that in Europe, it's only like 2% of people are following Christ. There's a mission field because there are so many people who've lost sight of Christ. In Japan, we support the Lavermans, and similarly, there's very, very little Christian witness there. So it makes sense if we're thinking in terms of people. You think, who are the people who with the greatest need? Where is the need for people to hear most about the gospel? But think about this. This is the part that really changes our perspective on missions. Some of those people are already here in the United States. Some of the people that most need to hear the good news live around us. I mean, obviously they could just be your neighbors and your friends. Here in Tarrytown, up on the hill, as many of you know, we have an international school. People come from all over the world to study in that school to study English. And if we have this perspective that we have to go to Africa to reach people, we might lose sight of the fact that there are people that are within walking distance who have come here. People who are looking for connections, looking for friends. They want to be invited into people's homes. They're open. They're lonely. They're in need. And we have an opportunity to reach them. Jesus says, go. Make disciples of the ethnos, the different people groups. And we have them all around us here in the New York metro area. So we need to think in terms not of places, but if we're called to missions, think of people. Who are the people in your life that God has given you opportunity to meet? They may not even be different from your ethnic class. Jesus didn't spell that, which ethnos we're supposed to go to. We're a diverse enough church that if all of us just reached people that were in our sphere, we'd make a huge difference. So the call to missions is a call to all of us. It's a call that every disciple of Jesus Christ is given. And it doesn't mean that you have to go over to Africa, or you have to go to India, or you have to go to China. Now, there will be those who realize that because of the opportunities that are there for them, that that's where they should go. It's a strategic thing. But most of us won't have that opportunity. Most of us won't speak another language. Most of us are going to be basically where we are. So the call to missions is a call that starts right where we are. And that's what we're supposed to do, to go. So when I ask this, the bottom line question, when you think about missions, what do you think about? There are all kinds of different ways you can think about it, but all of us have been called to missions. There's a way in which we can imagine this missionary calling that actually excuses us from serving. I've never had a voice telling me that I need to go to India. That doesn't mean that I'm excused from Jesus' call. He said, Tori, go. He said, family at First Baptist Church, go. Make disciples of all the people groups, of your neighbors, your friends, people on your block, people at the EF school, wherever they are, wherever you have opportunity, you've been called to do that. A number of years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Ralph Winter. Ralph was a missiologist. He was very actively involved in the world Christian movement. And he was involved with a group called the U.S. Center for World Missions in Los Angeles. And I went to a seminar that he led one day. And he was sharing this whole perspective on missions. That missions is about people primarily, not places. And God's call is a call to all of us. And he mentioned that there was a woman who'd been a secretary in the U.S. Center for World Missions, and she felt that she was called to missions. And so she left, and she felt called to reach Kurdish refugees. So she left Los Angeles, and she went to London to follow God's call. Now, he was not being critical of this woman, but his comment stood out to me. He said, you know, it's very interesting as a ministry that stresses the importance of reaching people groups and thinking of missions in terms of people and not places. If her focus is on Kurdish refugees, he said, at least at that time, he said, there are more Kurdish refugees in the Los Angeles area than any other place on the planet. But sometimes we lose sight of what missions is. And we think that unless I go somewhere else, I cannot be a missionary. But the fact is, all of us are missionaries. And our church is a missions organization. And so we support missionaries. Some are here in the United States. Some are overseas. Some are right here in Westchester County. And we ourselves have been called. So the question isn't, are you excluded from the call? But quite simply, will you be obedient to Christ's call? Because if we will do that, the opportunities are all around us. Let's pray together. Lord, it's easier to talk about reaching neighbors than it is to speak up for you. But Father, it begins by realizing that you have given us each a responsibility. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that is ours, particularly here in Tarrytown, here in Westchester County, in the shadow of New York City. There are literally people from all over the world who are in our backyard. Lord, as you told your disciples, help us to lift our eyes to see the fields that are ripened to harvest. Help us to be obedient to your call. Thank you for this reminder. In Jesus' name, amen.